Well, welcome back to Black History Matters 365 and the show Real Relationships with Dr. T, or better known as Dr. Terrence Schofield. We are happy to have you back on the show, listening audience. I'm excited. You know, I'm always excited about, and particularly this show. Everything about Black History Matter 365 is good, but I think this one, man, it is the show of what we're doing here. So Real Relationships, everyone, with Dr. T. We're going to jump right in because we have today an incredible subject that I think so many people are dealing with right now. And it's talking about love setbacks and how to overcome them. But before we get started, I'm going to read a quick quote, and we're going to bring Dr. T in to go ahead and kick us off with this topic. The quote for the show today is, "The comeback is always greater than the setback." Woo! I love that, Dr. T. Do you love that?
I love it. I love every bit of that.
Well, we are excited to be on the show again today and bringing you to our audience. But, you know, Dr. T, this setback is something that I think that's keeping a lot of people stuck. So I'm glad that you chose this topic. So we're going to jump in and just really get to the bottom of it. We're going to let you define it for us. Now, we know that a setback is simply a reversal, or a check in progress, or a problem, some problem or difficulty that's causing us not to move forward or cause us to be stagnant in our relationships and our behavior and even in our jobs on an everyday basis. So here it is, Love Setbacks with Dr. T.
Yes. See, and you know, reminds me, thank you, Sister Joe, and it reminds me of a song by Teddy Pendergrass said, "I think I better let it go. Looks like another love TKO." Right? You remember that by Teddy Pendergrass?
I do.
He says, "I think I better let it go. Looks like another love TKO." And I'm going to tell you, today we're going to deal with about four things, if you don't mind. In my research, I'm going to talk about what my research has found. Then I want to define what a love setback is. Then let me give you a couple of today's examples, and then I'm going to talk about the best way to fix it, okay? That's what we're going to deal with today. And as we think about this, it reminds me of this movie I just saw. There was a soldier that went out to fight a war, and he went out to fight this war, and he was on a mission, but he didn't accomplish his mission because he had to abort his mission for a reason. And the name of the movie is Mine. You almost have to see that movie to understand what I'm talking about. But this guy was on this mine. And so him and his friend had went away from this mission that he aborted, and he went out into this desert, right? And him and his friend got blown up because he stepped on this mine. There was over 300,000 mines in this field. So anyway, when he was stepping and trying to, you know, relieve his, try to get out of there, out of that desert situation, relieve himself from all that heat of the desert. And he stepped on something that was a mine he thought up under his feet. But in essence, he had stayed there for over 85 hours, you know, fighting against the wolves and came at night to try to, you know, take him off and fight him. But he couldn't move his feet. He was stuck. And he kept, you know, hallucinating and fighting against all those things that were within him. And it came to find out that after 84 hours, the only thing he stepped on was a JFG coffee cup up under his sand. And he was frozen. Because he thought that he was stepped on something that was going to really just totally destroy him. And that's what relationships are a lot of times. They're filled with landmines, and they're filled with things that are perceptions that we stand on that makes us think that we're where we need to be. And sometimes I think in relation from looking at man's perspective of women, it's the dangerous thing that they step on is this whole idea of the love setback. In my research, what I found is that in love setbacks, there's a couple of factors. The things that I think that set back a lot of relationships are attached, particularly to African-American relationships and maybe to others, is family history, how our family interacted, you know, our attachments, how we kind of attach ourselves to each other, how we attracted each other, our history of learned behavior, how we learn how to love and not do it. Our internal and external ways that we control each other in and out of relationships. We talked last week about this one-upness, not a oneness. So we find that those kind of things, family, attachment, history, of learned behavior, the internal and external ways that we kind of internalize things and how we express things and what we internalize, and those controlling factors in relationships that I think that really influences and you know, the way that we love each other or express our love to each other. So let me define what a love setback is. A love setback is when men say, here's what a man's love setback is. It's that I keep dealing with my woman, depleting my confidence. That's what most men say. They say, man, this woman keeps tearing me down. She keeps ripping my soul out of my chest. She keeps downing me all the time. She keeps making me feel like less a man. I mean, I bet you if I have some men listening to that, they could probably say, boy, that boy preaching. Why does my woman always put me down all the time? Why does she always deplete my confidence? It feel like most males that I have researched feel like they've been emasculated. And let me pull up right there and see if you got anything that you want to say before I go to my next 2 points.
Oh, no, you keep going, because that is a very serious topic there. How the male feels when a woman speaks to him or when a woman is relating to him on an everyday basis. And most of the time as women, we don't realize the things that we're saying could actually hurt a man or deplete him of his confidence and who he really is. So we have to watch what we say. That's pretty much what you're saying, is to watch how we actually deal with a man when we're in relationships, and even just family relationships, men that are in our family. We got to learn to encourage them and not discourage them.
Absolutely. And I don't understand, I guess, when I talk with these guys, it's very difficult to pull these guys out of the situation. So now I'm going to give you kind of examples. It's very hard to pull these guys out of things, because what they're saying is that I really want to try. I really want to. I know I got issues. I know I got problems. But this woman won't accept my problems. She keeps bringing my problems up all the time to me. And she keeps fighting me all the time with things that I'm dealing with. And she doesn't understand that if I can't win at home, I can't win abroad. I can't go out and live in this world if I keep getting depleted and emasculated at home. And so these guys are coming to me and they're saying, man, what do I need to do? And some of the women, they say, and I know these women are going to get mad at me and they think, oh, you think it's all the woman's fault? No, I'm just giving you from the man's perspective what they're telling me. Right. What they're telling me is that they're just tired. They're saying they're T-I-R-E-D and T-I-E-D. They tired and they tired.
And I'm they're just telling tired. You that
they're tired. Mm-hmm. And so what they keep saying is that I don't have the confidence to deal with this relationship. I'm losing everything I've ever had. So I'm trying to explain this to this woman.
What's so important there, what you said, is the male said, if I can't win at home, how can I win abroad? I like that. Right. Or on the outside or on my job or whatever I do. Men feel, if they feel like they're not winning at home, you know, they're not going to do anything else. They're going to feel too discouraged. So I think when you get into the steps of how to fix that, it's about winning at home and winning in that relationship with that woman.
Yeah. And women, you know, and we both have to do this, but women, let me speak to you today. You have to learn how to encourage the Black man. You have to learn how to encourage the white man. You're going to have to learn to encourage whatever man you got. You cannot. Here's how to fix it. You first have to get on a good foundation yourself.
Yeah.
That's the way to fix it. Anybody that's in a relationship, you before you start pushing out and pulling out, you better make sure that your foundation is sure. Then the second step is to first understand where you're trying to go with what you're trying to bring. Because you can't start. You got to start at a good foundation. You got to be good first. So maybe you need to take some time away to get good with you before you try to get better with somebody else, because that's going to help you in what you're bringing out on that person. Because, I mean, just like your child, you don't whoop your child when you're angry, because the only thing your child is going to internalize, he's not going to see that you're trying to correct him. He's going to think you're abusing. And so what most men can't hear, they can't hear the correction more than they hear you're attacking me. They're hearing you're attacking. And that's what needs. We need to learn how to communicate that. We need to understand. I mean, and I know that you got every right to feel like you feel on the other end. In some relationships, those men have messed up and did things that are probably not right. But what we need to do is we need to understand where we're trying to go. We need to find our goal and what we're trying to do, because men are going around and they're wounded, man. I mean, if you look at all these TV shows in Hollywood, they glamorize a kind of a man that doesn't have any courage. I mean, you know, I'm not saying Tyler Perry, and I'm not saying that he's downing men, but most men I found in some kind of Hollywood movies, they don't have any courage. I mean, it's almost like the woman is trying to be strong, and the way she gets strong is she's trying to be in control of everything. She's trying to dictate everything. And she's, you know, and the man is kind of like, well, whatever makes you happy. And that's not a reciprocal relationship.
Exactly. So, I think in right here, I think what you're saying, it's not reciprocal, because one person is doing, you know, the support. Because when it comes to a relationship, both people should be supporting one another. That's a relationship. Absolutely. And supporting one another, dreams and aspiration. It shouldn't be just a man supporting a woman or the woman supporting a man. It should be both, you know, recognizing the potential that's in my mate or that's in my boyfriend. And we're supposed to spur them on. I love the word spur, because that means to push them into what they really, really, truly are and been called to be. And so if the support is not there, it's going to be very difficult to have a balanced relationship.
Boy, that's so true. And in balance, you can't balance. Balances are not two equal things. Balances are two different things being equal. It's almost like if you put two things on the end of a what do you call that thing that we get on when you're on
a scale?
On a board?
Mm-hmm,
well,
the scale.
Like, yeah, you know, what's some things you used to play on the playground? We should go up and down.
Oh, the seesaws.
The seesaw. You're on the seesaw. Yeah. You know, they say the opposite weights do that. But sometimes, you know, you may have to lean back and put a little more weight because your weight isn't. So it's always an interworking thing that makes balance. Most people think balances are made by two equal things on the opposite opposing things. That's true. But most of the time, you have to compensate sometime for the imbalance. Right. Because in relationships, we don't always bring everyone. One person doesn't have everything that relationship needs. And if you don't have it, so one person ain't got the right answers all the time or the solution. Mm-hmm. But the solution comes in balancing the imbalances in that relationship, you know, and that's the key. We got to kind of work at it. We kind of got to approach that situation like we're on a relationship seesaw. And the best way we need to do that thing is to try to rock that thing to make it the best way. We have to balance and work with trying to balance that thing. And sometimes you got to accept that sometimes people have to go up first in order for them to come down. I mean, you can't approach that situation all the time with trying to down somebody. You got to bring people up, right? Because mm-hmm. the next, you know, it's all reciprocal, because things are always circling and they're going to come around. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think with most women, if I would recommend something for most ladies today, if you're in a love setback, if you're in a situation where you got a man that you feel like he's not talking or he's not doing anything. I mean, I'm telling you the reason why he's not talking, because he feels like, you know, what use is he going to say anything if you're going to beat up everything he say? So he ain't coming out with nothing. Men are going to guard that, because like I said last week, men's identity are hooked to certain things. So when you start emasculating, you're stripping their identity. I mean, they're not going to get that goal just easy.
Right.
And if you see a man that you're depleting, you don't really want that. I mean, you want the person to have a sense of confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say how you need to approach that thing is that you first have to get your foundation right. And then you have to start looking through the other couple's eyes first. You got to see where they are. if they tell you something about them, if you ask something, because I'm learning every day that most women, I said most women, they won't understand. You know, they want the reasons. Their whys are about reasons. Give me the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And most guys find it difficult to articulate the reasons why, because they feel like they're, you know, if I tell you, then what's the outcome? What's the result of that? You know, so you got to find, you got to provide, you got to first be good with understanding that you got to take the lead in that.
When you flip it on the other side, the man, like you said, he's depleted. We're depleting him. But the man also need to step up and tell the woman what she is doing to him. Because there's, absolutely, like you said, there's two sides. There's this imbalance going on. So we have to sometimes compensate for that imbalance. But in that compensation, it means the male actually letting the woman know that she is causing this, and then sitting down and setting up time to talk with the woman to say, how can I change this? This is how I feel when you say this to me. So I think you need to say it a different way, because it deals with me in a different way. Why? Because my mom used to say that to me that way. So I think defining on the male side is helping, because women, you're right, we want to understand what's going on. So I think the male should help us understand what's happening right now when I say that to you. Would you agree with that?
I agree totally. Like you said, how can I fix this? Not how can I fix you?
Yes.
And that's so, you got to use more I words than you words, because those you words are pointed. When you say you, you know, those things get people all been out of shape, because usually people have to be, when I said about the foundation, sometimes you got to be right. Sometimes people are too hurt to fix or to help, you know? So if you two can understand that, usually when you get to the point where it's a love setback, they are not at the condition to be able to help. So you probably need to seek outside help to be able to help you two become one, because it's difficult, because people are coming out of their own pain. It's about self-preservation. Remember, I told you the mind is all about survival. Your mind is not going to take you beyond the experiences that it encounters. It can't. It's going to do only what it knows. So, and what it does is it protects behind what it knows in order to help that person survive. You understand? Did that make sense? Let me break
that
down.
Absolutely, yes.
That survival, right, that experience of the brain, your brain is articulated with your neurons and your nerves to protect you. So whatever experiences you have, whatever thoughts you have in your mind, it's not going to go beyond that. So you got to understand, when you're dealing with a person, you're dealing with not only what a person thinks, but you're dealing with something that's with the body, and that's how the body shape. You got nerves and neurons. You got another living person. So it's more than just your issue that you're dealing with. You're dealing with an anatomical thing that people deal with, right? You're dealing with a lot of stuff. So sometimes, you know, we have to first, I think, back up. There's a poem that I read, but we have to go back into ourselves. Henry David Thoreau said it this way. He says, direct your eyes inward and you'll find 1,000 reasons in your mind yet undiscovered. Travel them and be an expert in your own personal home cosmography. And sometimes we have to be able to go internally in ourselves first, before we externally go out to somebody else. And that's what we don't do. If you can really think about it, the audience is listening. Anytime you've been in a love setback, have you really first went in first before you go out? Think about that for a second. You have to first be introspective before you can project on people. And most people just project. They're just coming out because they're hurt. And so they just lash out. And, you know, we need to start dealing inward first with our feelings before we start going external on somebody else. Because usually what people are going to get is they're going to get what you feeling, not, you know, that you really want to repair or really care about the other person. And that's what most guys are really feeling. You know, and I've been studying people for a long time in my history, and I know people. That's why I'm the people psychologist. And just being around these guys, I've seen that, right? I've seen that happen. And this week has been a loaded week of that. I've seen a lot of stuff going on this week that guys are just crying out. You know, what they really want to say is, would you please not beat me down? Would you please help me. Would you please understand me? Hear what I'm trying to say. Don't take what I say and you interpret what I say through what you think.
Wow.
Here's what I'm saying. That's it. Why are you trying to change what I say to what you think it is? That's a love setback.
That is. That's an absolute love setback. And we're living in a time right now in our culture where there's a pandemic of what I want. It's not what we can do together, you know, especially in the relationships, is what I want and what I think. Like you're saying, we got to bring, when you're in a love relationship, it's about both of you guys, you know. And so I think the world we're living in now kind of has set us up to even think that way, you know, about relationships. And we're influenced, again, like you said, from our culture, from Hollywood and all the things that's in the news when it comes to couples and relationships. And if you notice, a lot of those relationships don't last.
Mm-mm. Well, when you told me about like Kay West and Kim Kardashian, I mean, I think when in arguments or in difficult times of communication, we become competitors instead of completers. Hence, what I'm trying to say is, even if we're not a Kanye West or Kim Kardashian, our emotions put us in opposition of each other. So we're already in attack mode. We ain't in reasoning mode. We're in attack mode. We're in survival mode, like I told you about the brain. And so our foundations are not right to be able to conducive toward reconciliation. It can't happen. That's why I say we got to step back for a minute. I know it's hard when you're in the heat of the battle. When you got your feet on that landmine in that desert, it's a difficult thing to take your feet off and move, but you have to move back. The first step in any situation is take a step back, analyze the situation. First, the situation you got to analyze is yourself. See where you are, because your responsibility is in question here. It's not your ability, it's your responsibility to what you're dealing with that you can always be in control of if you take the step back and be responsible for your ability and how you respond. And that's the first level. That's why I say get grounded first. Get grounded first because see, what happens to men when women come at them is when they get mad, their responsibility is they're responding in a way that's wrong. And that's not good. You got to first sit back and find this woman's hurt. There's something that hurt her while she's responding to you. And it may be more deeper, like that guy that I said in the landmines. He was dealing with a father that put a lot of trauma on him. So you're dealing with more than what you see. You have to step back a second and be able to deal with that situation. So you never, you know, respond out of hate with hate. You got to come at it with love and understanding, because that woman wants you to understand that she's hurt. And she really wants to know that she's really not. I would say that some of the cases, that woman is really not hating you. She just don't know how to articulate her love in the things that she's experiencing because she feels like you're not receiving what she's saying. And she just wants you to get better. She really does.
Yes.
She does. I would think so.
Well, you know, in all you're saying, it sounds like, too, that you're saying, and I'm going to come back to this because I've said it before, is that we both in a relationship, we both bring different histories. And
absolutely,
we have to understand where that person come from. And if I'm lashing out or if I'm saying something in the wrong way to that man, that may affect him, not because of me, but because of what he experienced, you know, when he was growing up. Mom may have said it in that way and it hurt him. And so he's brought that. He never healed from that. So that is brought to the relationship. So when I respond, when I say something like that, he's going to respond. He's going to shut down, like you said last week, because of what he went through, his history with that same comment or with that same way you're treating him. It's going to be a shutdown. So we got to learn that we're bringing two people are bringing two different histories to the table to work out. And this imbalance, because if you really look at it, we're all kind of imbalanced when we come in, but we're supposed to balance each other out.
Absolutely. That's the recipe for balance. You're exactly right. Is care where the other person is and understanding where the other person is. That's a great foundation, Sister Joe. You said it right. And we have to get better. We have to get better at that. We really do. We have to work on that. It takes work. You know, love takes work. Relationships takes work. Like I said, we come from different places and spaces, and we're made and we're wired differently too. So I would think that most families that I've researched, especially when they're experiencing dissatisfaction, it is rooted in the family. It is rooted in their history, the way that they learn. Like I said, the brain can only do what its experience teaches it. And so, you know, that's what we kind of dealing with. And so we got to, I'll tell you, one good goal is let's start providing proper climates for them. I mean, because if what we're doing right now, the main thing is what we're doing right now is not working, then we just time to try something else, right?
Right.
And so if you're in a love TKO right now, as Teddy Pendergrass said, a love setback, it's time to do something else. Now, let me say this. There's sometimes a relationship where people are too wounded to be able to repair it. So you really need to get your help. You get you some help, outside help to help you with that, because sometimes people are just too wounded. They're not going to give it up. Sometimes a wound, you can nurture a wound just like you can nurture something like precious. You know what I'm saying? Something mm-hmm. precious to you. It could become an infatuation to be carried over by pain. Some people are pain motivated, where, you know what I mean? They think, you know, being painful is love, and those difficult places. And, you know, it can get us some dysfunctional stuff if we ain't careful. But most guys that I've spoken with, two things came out in relationships. Women have said they want the man to learn how to be there for them. So that's what my research has shown. Out of 100 people that I interviewed, most women in the survey that I had said, these men need to learn how to sit with me. They need to learn how to be for me. And most men have said, other than physical, you know, men are physical. They like the physical and the sex. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they said what they want is somebody to treat them with respect. And so in the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So the women, respect your husband. Might be saying, Bible might be right. Men want respect.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. And women want the love and the care of somebody that can be there for them. And so now, like you said, that's coming from two different places. They got two different needs. So how do we do that? You got to understand it. You got to have your foundation set. You know, you can't be about that one up and the stuff we talked about last week either. You got to find a new way to do this thing.
Yeah, I like that. So we're talking about love setbacks on the Real Relationship Show with Dr. T. And Dr. T, in closing, because we're at the hour now, give us about 3 points. And you know, I'm always about points.
Yeah, you are.
Moving forth with this setback, how to handle that, because some people are in it right now and some are not in that right now. You've given us some steps already, but just to wrap everything up, identify what a setback is and then give us those 3 points of how to handle that setback.
Okay. Well, what a setback is, I want to define it again, is when a person feels like they are dealing with someone that's depleting them in the relationship. It's stripping them of all of who they are. That's a love setback. And that can happen to either a man or a woman. And what did you say, the three tips?
Yeah.
Three tips? Okay. First off, determine that you're going to be not the person or have the relationship that your mom or your dad or everybody else had. It's okay to be influenced by that, but you got to get a good perception of who you are. I want to say this. The only person you can become is the person you decide to be. You're going to have to decide to be that person that makes that change in that relationship. You're going to have to be that kind of person. And sometimes that kind of person, you got to understand the other person that you're with. And the other one is that you've got to be able to find yourself on a good ground. Understand that the ground that you're on when you're dealing with a relationship. The third way is just understanding that people are going to be different. So you got to approach that thing different in a relationship. Those are kind of three areas I would think of.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Love it. This has been great again. Love setbacks. And just realizing that the comeback is always greater than the setback. So as we do those three things, we're setting ourselves up to come back and to be better when it comes to relationships and how we communicate with each other. I think that's so important. I mean, again, we can go all day on this topic, but we are so happy that you stepped in with your show and gave us some pointers. Always remember that Dr. T is a clinical psychologist. He is the people psychologist, and he do have books out there. We have to always say this on the show that you need to pick up. So Dr. T, tell them your website and how they can get your books.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne. My new website is Dr. T, that's drtee.net. So you can just www.drtee.net. And my books are called, one particular book titled, Why We Do What We Do, Improve Your Relationships and Your Life. That's a fantastic book. It's a fantastic book. And you can find it on Amazon and Kindle. It's an ebook as well. The other one is Black Married and Not Killing It. That's on Amazon and Kindle also. It's a very good book too. But I would recommend the first read to all the audience out there is to get the Why We Do What We Do, Improve Your Relationships and Your Life. I mean, it'll really bless you, and I hope it will.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep talking about those books. And I know a lot of your research and what you talk about on the show is coming from these books. So they're very good. You need to pick those up. But we are done here today of our second episode with Dr. T, and looking forward to the next one. So thank you for joining us on BHM 365 with the Real Relationship Show. We will definitely see you next time.